Hi, I'm Howard Dayton, and today I want to take a look at the big picture. The big picture of why God says so much about money.
More about that in just a moment. Hi, I'm Steve Moore. Later in the broadcast, we go to the Larry Burkett Audio Archive for a reminder on how to make a spending plan work so you can stay out of trouble. Also coming up, answers to your questions about the journey to true financial freedom. 1-800-525-7000. Thanks for joining us today on Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries.
Well, every once in a while, I like to take a step back, take a look at the big picture of why God said so much about money in the Bible. And I thought that the beginning of 2007 would be a great time to do just that. You know, the Bible has an awful lot to say about money. There are 2,350 verses dealing with it. 15% of everything that Jesus said had to do with money. And the reason the Lord said so much about money is simple. God loves us. He cares for us. He knows that how we handle money has a huge impact on us spiritually. Now, Luke 16:11, my life's verse says this: if you're not faithful in the use of worldly wealth or money, who will entrust you with the true riches? And in this passage, what the Lord is telling us is if we don't faithfully handle money, we won't be trusted with the true riches. And the true riches in life is a close relationship with Christ. And you know, as much as I want you to get out of debt and have savings, and I really do, and as much as I want you to make progress on your journey to true financial freedom, and I really do, I want so much more that you enjoy a closer walk with Jesus Christ. You know, nothing on earth compares with knowing Christ well. Now, the second reason the Lord said so much about money is he wanted to equip us to handle all of our resources wisely. So he tells us how we should manage all of our income, not only how to handle 10% of our income, the area of giving, but how to handle 100% of it, all of it. He gave us these wonderful principles that are absolutely true on how to earn money, spend money, give money, save, invest, get out of debt, teach our children. Everything you need to know about handling money is found in God's Word. And really, that's what Crown Financial Ministries and this program is all about. I want you to learn what the Creator of the universe says about money. And not only learn what he says about it, but apply what he tells us. Because you will grow closer to Christ. You will get your finances in order. Remember, God loves you. He cares for you. More than anything else, he wants you to know him really, really well. And he wants to equip you to be a wise manager so that you can enjoy true financial freedom.
You know, Howard, so often in today's economy, we look at money and the making of it and the managing of it as the end, while God sees it as just a tool, as just the means to make us more like him.
Yeah, really well said, Steve.
You're listening to Money Matters, your host, Howard Dayton, and your phone calls coming up right after this.
Well, not too long ago, we received a letter here at Crown Financial Ministries from Jeff and Jennifer. They're a couple who were thousands of dollars in debt, and as their family was growing, so was their debt. Their marriage was suffering because of this financial stress, and frankly, they'd just given up hope. Well, they went through a Crown small group study at their church, and they wrote us to tell us what a blessing it was that they're now debt-free as a result of learning God's way of handling money. And I tell you that story because I want to thank you for helping Jeff and Jennifer. If you supported Crown in the past, you played a part in their lives. And your ongoing financial support will continue to make a difference in the lives of just so many people like them. And if you haven't already had a chance to be part of this ministry and you'd like to find out how you can, give us a call at 800-722-1976 or just visit us online at crown.org.
Not getting our complimentary Money Matters newsletter with devotional articles, biblical counsel, and money-saving ideas? Sign up today at crown.org.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today on Money Matters. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore. And Steve, I've got a startling stat for you today.
All right, I'm ready.
Hey, listen to this. There are two 40-year-old drivers. They live in the same zip code. They drive identical cars. And according to this article, one paid $346 for a six-month car insurance premium.
Uh-huh.
The other $641. You get that one paid $346, the other $641.
Mm-hmm.
Why the difference?
One of them had a brother-in-law for an insurance agent, and the other did not.
Or,
I don't know the difference.
Close, but
one didn't do his homework.
No.
Okay.
Credit score. Low credit scores impact all sorts of things, including the cost of car insurance. So this is one of the reasons why we plead with you. You know, get your finances in order. You know, get that credit score up by getting out of debt, by making sure that you make all your payments for your bills and your in any debt that you might have on time each month, so you can build up that credit score, because there's lots of ways that'll impact your finances.
You know, I'm not sure that that's fair, but indeed that's the way it works. Prospective employers are looking at credit scores to try to determine what type of a person or what type of character you have.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Very important. 1-800-525-7000. Let's go to Lake Katrine, New York. Janet, listening to WFGB.
Janet, thanks for holding. How could we help you today?
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I are in our mid-50s. We do not have a lot of debt right now. We have we had a home improvement loan that we owe for about $18,000. We have really no savings, and there's a roadblock. My husband, for the 34 years we've been married, will not deal with money.
Mm.
And yet he controls the finances and the fact that he only gives me X amount of money per week to run the house. Together we make about $51,000.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's my problem.
So he just shuts down. He doesn't communicate at all about the finances?
No, not at all.
Why do you think he's resistant to that?
You know, I really don't know. For 34 years, it's been our problem every single week.
Yes.
And like I say, he still controls the money. He will only give me so much money. I really don't even know exactly what he makes. But he wants me to control the finances as far as paying everything. So.
Well, this is a challenge. Let me ask you a couple, they're sort of personal questions. Does he know Christ as his Savior?
He does profess it. As a child, he accepted Christ. But as far as any walking with the Lord, I don't see that, no.
Okay. Another personal question. Do you think he's got a spending pattern or maybe even an addiction that he wants to cover up, and that may be one of the reasons he doesn't communicate with you?
Well, he does. I figured out he spends about $8,000 a year.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the big picture. God alone has to change his heart. I mean, that's the name of the game, is for the Lord to intervene in his life, change his heart. So here's what I'd recommend for you. First, I'd ask him if he could pray with you daily. And when you pray together, I would, tell the Lord what you appreciate about your husband. Ask the Lord to give your husband wisdom, to bless him, to allow him to make good decisions. You know, help him see in your prayer time that, number one, you care for him, and number two, God cares for him, because maybe there's something in his background that short-circuited that. And the verse that comes to mind is from 1 Peter. If you've got a pencil and paper.
I do. I'm writing.
Okay, good. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. And it says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. And this is what I really want you to focus on. So even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So you're the person closest to him. You really are the Bible that, he can read. Even if he doesn't read the Bible, he can see your life. As you love him, care for him, encourage him. And then the third thing I'd do, Janet, is I'd get a close friend, ask her if she would pray for you each and every day, with you each and every day for your husband. Ask her to maintain, total confidentiality. So really it's between you, your friend, and the Lord. I mean, you three would be the only folks that are praying for him. And then, what also comes to mind is This is exactly what Judy Burkett did. She was introduced to Christ. She tried to tell Larry Burkett, our former host on the program, about Christ. He wasn't receptive at all, but she prayed. Now, she prayed, and then the Lord brought some people into his life who ultimately led him to Christ. And, you know, that's what you need. You need to pray for the Lord to bring into his life some people that will be attractive to him, that he respects, who really are sold out to Christ. And just pray the Lord will touch his heart. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to do that for you right now.
Oh, thank you.
Father, thank you for Janet's love for her husband over these 34 years. Father, with so many people out there, the only answer is to you, for you to intervene in their lives, to touch their hearts, to change them, to bring them to yourself, and to have them follow you, not only as their Savior, but as their Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus for her husband that that would happen to him. And it's in your name, Lord, that we pray. Amen. Hey, Janet, let me send you the book, Your Money Map. It might be a tool at some point for you and your husband to go through, you know, chapter by chapter together. And believe me, we will be praying with you. And please let us know how it goes.
Oh, I will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet. God bless you.
Thanks, Janet.
Right. Bye-bye.
Sounded like a very sweet lady and kind of a difficult situation.
It is. That's tough.
Yeah. Alrighty, let's continue on. Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Sounds very New Mexico-ish, doesn't it?
It does.
Gene listening to KFLQ.
Gene, thanks for calling.
Hi there.
Hey, what's on your heart today?
My question is that we have a vacant lot, and it's 100 by 150, and it's vacant right now, and we originally were going to build a fourplex on it.
Yes.
Well, however, we've been informed that Housing Development has bought all the land north of us, and they're going to be developing a housing community with over 250 single-family homes.
Yes.
That's going to include flats, condos, and fourplexes, and they're allocating land for office buildings and restaurants.
Yes.
And so my question is, what should we do with that vacant land? Should we build a fourplex, but now it's been rezoned so we could actually build condominiums, six of them on there? Or should we sell the land? Or should we build and sell them individually? We're just, we need to know what our best investment option is.
Yes. Is it zoned for commercial purposes as well, or is it just residential in use?
Commercial, too.
Okay, great. And is there any debt on it?
No.
Very good. Do you have experience in commercial real estate development?
Yeah. Well, we've had some apartment buildings, and we currently have a fourplex.
Okay. Good. Well, the good news is, you know, when there's a large project developed near property, if it's a nice project, it creates value. It creates traffic. The real estate value of the property goes up. I'd be a little bit concerned about building condominiums or really fourplex at this stage of the game. You know, housing is generally slowing. You'd be competing against how many housing units did you say? 230 housing units?
Right around there, 230 or 250.
Yes. If I were going to use it for housing, I think I'd wait a while.
Okay.
Just hold on to it, see how their sales go. I mean, is it a vibrant thing where they're, you know, busting all kind of records or sales really, really slow? So I would allow that to kind of play itself out. If another alternative would be to just put a sign on the property for sale, commercial property for sale. Or commercial property for sale, or we'll build a suit.
Okay.
And you know, just pray that the Lord would make it clear to you. You could either sell the property if an attractive offer came, or the build a suit concept is, it can be a very good one. You'd be looking for somebody who's credit worthy, who could, you know, be a really good tenant, where you would actually build what they want, but they would enter into a long-term lease so you could, over time, get it paid off and have a very nice stream of income.
Oh.
So those would be the the two options that I'd be looking at.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask you one more question?
Surely.
Which way should we finance that? Should we use the equity out of our properties?
Yes.
Or do you think we should do that?
Yeah, that's what I would do. Use the equity out of the property. And if you have a very strong tenant, if you did a build-to-suit, often if they're credit-worthy, if they've got great credit, then the lender will cut you a really good deal. You might not have any personal liability, and that's certainly what I would shoot for.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you.
Okay. Hey, Gene, I'm delighted you guys have the property, and it's mortgage-free. You've been doing well.
Okay.
We wish you well,
Gene.
Thank you
so much for your advice.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-800-525-7000. Let me mention that in just a couple of weeks, career expert and good friend Brian Ray joins us. He'll be answering questions about changing jobs or careers or anything else career-related. So if you have a question you'd like to ask Brian, call right now, 1-800-525-7000. Just follow the prompts. You can leave your question. If we can use it on the broadcast with Brian Ray, we'll call you back. 1-800-525-7000 or even email heyhoward@crown.org. And lots of people thinking about making some moves at this time of year, and
that's
Brian
right.
is always a wealth of information.
Oh, he's just superb.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to our phones. Baldwin City, Kansas. Stacy, how can we help you today?
Hi.
Hi.
We live in a new home that my husband built about a year ago, and we are just finding that it's too much money for us, and we're wondering if we should bail out and take a tax penalty, or if we should try to stay here for another year so that we're not taxed as hard on the profit.
Now, tell me a little bit about, what percentage would you guess of your income, Stacy's going for the housing?
We've been reading Debt Free Living by Larry Burkett.
Right.
And we are 60-some percent.
Yeah,
that's housing expenses.
That's way too much.
Yes.
Are you going? Do you find that you're going further into debt every month?
We are.
Okay.
We've had to charge things some months, and then it's hard to pay that off.
Yes.
And every month it just gets harder, and it's frustrating, and we're struggling.
Absolutely. And tell me about the tax penalty that would be associated if you sold the house now.
Well, we've talked to our tax guy, and he said that it depends on how much the house sells for and all that stuff, but we're looking at 10 to 12%.
Of tax that you'd have to pay on your profit?
Yes.
Okay. That would be long-term capital gains tax?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. from my perspective, that's a very small amount of tax to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what profit do you think you're looking at total?
Between 40 and 50 thousand.
Okay, well, your total loss in terms of tax payments then would be somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000, and to get out from under it, not to be piling up additional debt each and every month. I'd go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Don't think about the tax you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the freedom that you're gaining.
That's what we want to do.
Okay, Stacy. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Hey, next we have a reminder from our late host and Crown co-founder, Larry Burkett, on how a spending plan can help you stay out of trouble. We'll go into our archives for that when Money Matters returns.
Few things in life are more maddening than trying to refold a map.
Maybe I have to fold it in half.
For crying out loud!
However, maps are quite helpful when you need to know which way to go. Sometimes we all need the same kind of guidance when it comes to finances. If only there were a map with simple directions that would guide you to financial freedom. Oh, too bad there's not such a map, you say. Ah, but there is the Crown Money Map. The Crown Money Map guides you along the seven destinations on the road to true financial freedom. With the Money Map, you'll always know which step to take next, and you'll be able to visually track your progress along the way. It's even easy to refold, I think. Yes, well, you can't have everything. Put yourself on the path to true financial freedom with the Crown Money Map. Call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org/moneymap.
all this week, we've been encouraging you to make this the year that you start using a spending plan. And for our monthly selection from the Larry Burkett Archives for this first Friday of January, we thought it'd be really appropriate for you to hear what Larry said about it. So here from a conference at the Moody Bible Institute 5 years ago is Larry explaining how to make a spending plan really work.
No budget will work in a family without a husband and wife committing to it. And in general, women are the budgeters. I know that. And they are the money managers of America. And I probably shared this with you, but contrary to popular opinion as well, women don't spend more than men. I've seen enough budgets to tell you that's the honest truth. And generally speaking, when a woman buys, she buys too much food and clothes. When a man buys, we buy big-ticket items, boats and airplanes and cars and big-ticket stuff. And that's what really gets you into most trouble. I don't think God cares particularly about the things that you buy, provided they are in balance and provided that your focus is on the things of God first. And unless you develop a budget together, it simply will not work. And a budget is not a punishment plan. A budget is simply a plan that says, how much money do we have coming in and where have we decided to spend it? There are about 14 categories in anybody's budget. Some people have as few as 12 because they don't do any saving, long-term or short-term saving. But there are about 14 categories. And what you do is you take the income that you have, or at least the income you've decided to live on, and you divide it in these categories, and you talk about it together. How much are we going to spend in housing? How much are we allowed to spend in housing? I've done enough counseling to know that there is a percentage that should go into housing, and you go over that percentage, your budget won't work no matter what you do. The average percentage for people making less than $50,000 a year that can go into housing, average, is about 40% of their net spendable income. Net spendable defined as after taxes and after tithes, 40% can go into housing. That's everything that goes into a home. That is the payments, the insurance, the utilities, telephone bill, everything that goes into the home. And yet the average young couple that our counselors see today spends somewhere between 60 and 65% on their home. They will never balance their budget. There, you cannot take 25% out of those other categories and make your budget work. In fact, I had a lady, I was doing a call-in radio program out in California one time, and this woman called in. I had just gone through all the percentages, and she called in. She said, that is ridiculous. There's no way you could limit your housing expense to 40% in the state of California. That's unrealistic. I said, fine. How much do you need? She said, I need at least 60%. I said, fine. How about cars? Well, 15% certainly isn't enough for an automobile in California. How much do you need? I need 30%. Fine. And we went down her list. She was adjusting her budget to a realistic percentage, and when we got all done, she was spending 140% of her income. See, I didn't make these numbers up. You can't spend more than 100%. Some people do, and that's why they go through several marriages and a lot of bankruptcies. Because you can't do that as a Christian and be a good steward of the Lord's money. Impossible.
That's Larry Burkett, the late co-founder of Crown Financial Ministries and the former host of this program. Steve?
Good information as always. Well, let me conclude this first Friday of the new year by saying thanks to our staff. Dwayne Harms is our senior producer. He leads our production team of Rich Rosel, Dave King, and Carl Peets. Unlike most people around here, Carl hasn't made any New Year's resolutions. He says he doesn't have time. He has four kids, and we all understand that.
You sure do.
Our writer, Scott Grant, is hoping this will be the year he and his wife become parents, and to prepare for fatherhood, he's resolved to get more sleep and gain 20 pounds. I'm Steve Moore. My New Year's resolution is to not gain 20 pounds. Howard, any personal goals for 2007?
Yes, I do, Steve, and they're broken down among the goals to grow closer to Christ, grow closer to my family, and to be faithful in serving the Lord here at Crown. Hey, thanks so much for listening today to Money Matters from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Howard Dayton along with Steve Moore, and I sure hope you can join us again on Monday as together we take another step on the journey to true financial freedom.